This is the Morning Crossfire on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
11 minutes gone past 8 o'clock. Thank you for joining the region's biggest conversation. My name is Eno Ogbevire. How are you? My guest is here, Olalekan Ige, a journalist and editor. Good morning, Olalekan.
Yeah, good morning, Eno. And how are you this morning?
Good.
Okay, you are looking pretty this morning.
Thank you.
Maybe signs of enjoyment for the public holiday.
Yeah, but I didn't get any meat to eat.
Maybe add money in your pocket and you're just happy. Probably add some dollars, you know.
I was not a delegate. Don't start. All right, so we're talking vice presidential candidates. But it started after, you know, parties had picked their presidential candidates ahead of the 2023 elections. Labour Party has Peter Obi. The PDP has Atiku Abubakar. And All Progressives Congress, APC, has Bola Ahmed Tinubu. So three of them right now look like the major contenders. And initially, there was something that we saw, which we hadn't seen before, the place of a placeholder. And they made us understand that the placeholder was a person who would hold that position in trust for a bit. And when the party or the candidate eventually picks their vice presidential candidate, the person would step aside. And then the vice presidential, or the running mate, the running mate would, you know, take up that position. So for the Labour Party, it was Doyin Okupe first. I saw a tweet, Olalekan, the person was saying that, I think it was Aisha Yesufu. Yeah. She was very upset. She said, the choice of a placeholder is as important as who the party picks for running mate.
Running mate, yes. Yeah, true. And, you know, there were arguments as to whether there was even anything called placeholder in the Electoral Act and in the Constitution of the Federal Republic of Nigeria. Of course, there was nothing like that in the Electoral Act. Neither is it in the Constitution. But you see, when you have a brilliant people, they know how to circumvent some of the provisions you have. Of course, embedded in the Electoral Act is the issue of resignation or withdrawal, you know, from candidates that have been nominated by political parties. So there was a period for that, which was from the 15th of July, you understand, till whenever they are ready to do any other thing. Funny enough, you can even replace somebody who has resigned and you have somebody who's replaced him. They can replace the replacement, of course. There's still provision for that. So that was brilliance on the part of APC and Labour Party to say, look, let's put in, you know, a placeholder. INEC came out to say there is nothing like placeholder in the elect, which is true. But of course, the parties knew what they were doing. Only the parties mentioned placeholder. They didn't tell INEC that they were placeholding anybody, but that was within them. But INEC got wind of it and said, well, there's nothing like that. But eventually, as you could see, the people went to court, swore an oath that, look, I'm no longer interested, you know, in becoming running mate to this candidate. I'm hereby, you know, withdrawing, you know, my nomination and all of that, which is within the provisions of the elect. So that way, they were able to circumvent the issue of a placeholder.
Okay. So what are you among those that believe that the person that was picked as a placeholder was just as important as a running mate?
No, it wasn't as important as a running mate. Placeholding simply means let's look at what we have within. You know, let's look at everybody that is on the table. Let's look at all the permutations and all of the calculations we can do within the political party. And you could understand at that point why Labour Party and APC chose placeholders. You know, they just emerged, you know, from a thorough process, a rather lengthy process, and they wanted to sort out all grievances and all of that and actually settle down to look at who would be their respective running mate. So they said, okay, look, why don't you hold this position in trust? When we are ready, you go to court, swear on oath that you are withdrawing from the race and all of that, then we'll formally nominate the real person we want in the first place. And that's what they've been able to do so far.
All right, so we also saw talking about the parties now.
Yes.
We saw that it took them a while. I mean, you've said that they were trying to sort out internal issues.
Yeah.
But some Nigerians were asking questions. Is it that these people do not have credible people that... I mean, for some people, they believe that the deputy could as well have been the main character.
The main candidate. Yeah,
the candidate, because if something happens, the person will take over. So
yes.
They're asking, is it that bad that Nigeria does not have these credible people that can, you know, be easily chosen from among the lots?
But remember, you know, on previous occasions I've been on this program, I've said, look, it is the business of political parties to do whatever they want to do.
Mm.
If you are not a member of any political party, you lack the right to complain about how the party is doing its business. The only place you have the opportunity to punish a party for not doing the right thing is during the general elections. Mm. So when you say Nigerians, except members of Labour Party or APC, those are the only people who can complain at that point in time because they are party members.
Mm.
It is during general elections that the rest of Nigerians will now join party members to say, okay, no problem, you made the wrong choice, we will punish you during the general election. So only party members could have complained at that point in time. And if party members weren't complaining, then there's no need for the rest of Nigerians to complain because we practice a multi-party system.
So
there are over 20 political parties that present presidential candidates for 2023. So you must not be fixated on one. If one is messing up, the best way to show that they actually messed up is vote them out during the general election.
Okay, so what Oladeko Egi has said effectively is that since you're not a part of a political party, you don't even have a voice.
Yes, you cannot tell a party what it should do if you are not a member. That's the truth. That's party politics. You understand? And like I always say, if you are not a member of a political party, you can only talk and talk and talk and talk. It does not matter. It doesn't change the mindset of the political party. Only members of that political party can rise in unison and say, look, we do not support what you do. Alternatively, you resign as a member of the party. That's hard for the party to know that, look, our members are actually not happy, you know, with our decisions and all of that. Until general elections, the rest of Nigerians have no say in what happens in the political party. And remember, recently we had all the major political parties having their presidential primaries. Mm. Did you see the rest of Nigerians join the delegates?
We were watching on TV.
Exactly. You're only watching what the party was going to do.
And
you are not the delegate. Your vote will not count. So you see why it's important that only members of that party can complain.
And it's more important that Nigerians join political parties so that they can change the process, the internal processes, if they're not happy with it.
Yes, even though all of us cannot be members of political parties, but we are saying that one of the best ways to change the political narrative of Nigeria is that have more people join political parties so that you can influence
from within.
Yeah, you know, that's why a lot of people don't know that, look, Nigeria's faith is tied to the dynamism of political parties in Nigeria because it is the political parties who must present candidates. And if it is political parties who must present candidates, you see the reason why we should have more people in political parties who can say, no, we've been doing this for the last 30 years. We've not had any change. Why don't you do it this way? And that's why we'll continue to advocate that, look, all members of political parties should be able to have a say in what. So this issue of delegate election shouldn't arise, maybe going forward. You understand? So that we can say, look, at the close of business on a particular day, publish the names of those who are members of a political party. Maybe political parties can lead the charge when it comes to electronic voting. Why can't political parties adopt electronic voting for all members of the party to vote for their presidential candidate so that when parties are able to deepen electronic internal democracy in terms of electronic voting, they can now sell the idea to INEC to say, INEC, we've been practicing this, you know, for quite some time and it's working. INEC, why don't you adopt electronic voting so that from the comfort of your homes you can just vote? Look at how NBA has been able to conduct its election, Nigerian Bar Association. They conduct online voting. And even though you could say we've had, you know, contentions about whether it is credible or not, but NBA has been able to lead the charge. So NBA cannot be telling INEC, why don't you adopt electronic voting? Recently, the Nigerian Institution of Ethics of Values and Values had their elections through electronic voting. So you can see more and more bodies now are responding to technology. They are trying to test technology. So if we have political parties and you have 1 million members at the close of a business, why don't you allow the 1 million members to vote for candidates of their choice via electronic means?
Okay. So, you know, also very interesting, Oladeko, is that in the beginning, I mean, let's say 6-7 months ago, it was just APC and PDP. And, you know, on radio, we always tell them, but we have other political parties who are going to field candidates. So why are you all fixated on just APC and PDP? Oh, they have the strengths, they have the structures, they've been here for longer, they have numbers. And then all of a sudden, it's now three. What happened?
But I think it's, should I say, a general reaction, you know, should I say, to the failures, you know, of both PDP and APC to mass mobilize people towards ensuring better governance in Nigeria. So I think Nigerians, some Nigerians, I should say now, are fed up with both APC and PDP, and they think Peter Obi represents, you know, a whole new idea.
Okay.
Somebody outside of the two main political parties who they feel can restructure Nigeria or make govern Nigeria better and make things, you know, better for Nigerians. Whether that would happen 2023...
Nigerians will decide.
2023...
Nigerians will decide.
2023 will prove that, in the sense that that's when the generality of Nigerians will go to the polls and be able to freely, you know, elect the candidates, you know, of their choice.
It's
all of that, really.
Whether Nigerians want that, beyond just speaking about it, or it's just going to be another talk and no action?
No, you know, it will be difficult, really.
But not impossible?
Not impossible. But when you place it on a balance of probability, then the odds actually, your odds far outweigh what will come as an advantage, you know, to Peter Obi. People say structures and order. The truth is, when it comes to presidential election, structure does matter without any doubt. And for people who do not know, to become the president of Nigeria according to the constitution, you must not only win majority of the total vote cast, you must cut 25% in two-thirds of the states of the federation. So it means that if you are to become the president of Nigeria, you must win the majority of valid votes cast on that day. Second, you must win one quarter of votes in two-thirds. Yes, and two-thirds is 24. So it means for you to become president, first of all, win the total majority of the votes cast, then score one quarter in 24 states. That's if you want to become president. If you cannot fulfill any of these constitutions, there will be a rerun, and we never had rerun.
Well,
no,
perhaps,
presidential election.
Perhaps this is the year.
No, but
2023 is the year that is going to happen.
No, but when you place it, this is when you place it on a scale, APC, PDP, and Labour Party. Look at the three political parties now. Which of them, or how many of them, can cross this order?
We wait to see.
Only 2023 we answer that.
Only 2023 we answer based on how Nigerians vote.
Based on how Nigerians vote, definitely.
Okay, so if you like, do vote buying. If you like, don't turn up. If you like, what other method are they using now?
What has been able to curb snatching of ballot boxes is not that, look, once the results are announced, it's electronically updated on INEC portal. So even if you run away with the ballot box, you are not helping yourself. Because no result will be declared.
Okay.
So you can't go and write results.
That's been sorted.
Yeah, you can't go and write results somewhere and now give to INEC official as announced. No.
So
once you run away with the ballot box, you're on your own.
So the tricky one now is the vote buying. We talked about that the other time.
Okay, which is to induce people,
before
maybe convince them, maybe beg them. But we've seen situations, especially during the governorship election in Anambra, where some women were giving money and they came to show it to the world. Say, look, they gave us this money. We will still vote this person that we will vote for. So, vote by sometimes could backfire.
All right. Well, Aliko Ege is my guest. When I join for Port Harcourt, stay tuned.
We take off with the biggest conversations with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Harcourt.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts.
Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station.
Chat Station.
And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info.
The Morning Crossfire on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Thank you for staying tuned. We've got just about 20 more minutes on this. My guest, Olaleko Ige, is here. So, Ige, let's just get straight to it. We moved away from the placeholder thing. Vice presidential candidates or running mates of the presidential candidates for APC, Bola Ahmed Tinubu choose Kashim
Shettima.
Shettima, it was former Senator Borno, right?
Yeah.
Then we have for the PDP, Atiku Abubakar, Governor Okowa, yes. Former senator, of course, and Delta State governor. Then Peter Obi chose Dati Ahmed, who also was a former House of Reps member and a short-time senator.
Yes.
He was there for barely a year. Then he was his victory was upturned. So, some people don't understand. What do you think really goes on in picking a running mate?
I think there's a whole lot, you know, that you have to look at. You look at balancing in terms of geopolitical zone.
Okay.
The Constitution of the Federal Republic of Nigeria talks about federal character, meaning you have to avoid lopsidedness. Otherwise, you can be a presidential candidate from the south and as well choose a vice presidential candidate from the south. But, you know, balancing in terms of federal character.
Okay, so that's one.
So you look at that. Two, you also look at what the person brings to the table. Is that in terms of electoral value or in terms of competence, in terms of cognitive experience in managing large corporations, or sometimes in terms of what the person has been able to do, you know, in his life sojourn. So you look at all those background. Can he bring something to the table? Remember, the office of the vice president is not like the office of the deputy governor that is practically inefficient. You know, the office of the vice president is the chairman of the National Economic Council. It's also in charge of no less than 23 parastatals. So the office of the vice president is not empty, unlike the office of the deputy governor, where you can only function at the behest, you know, of the governor. But as a vice president, there are statutory responsibilities that have been assigned to you. So you look at somebody who can successfully manage all
the
of this.
The economy, basically.
Yeah, where you focus, why you focus on other things. So those are part of the things you look at. You also look at religious balance, too, because whichever way you look at it, we're a secular state.
That's what they say.
Yeah, we're a secular state.
Then they try to keep the people in chains, religious chains.
No, we're a secular state.
With religious chains.
Yeah, sometimes you look at religious background, really, which has affected politics, not just at the national level, I must say, even at the local level, even at the state level. You know, there are states where you have, you know, almost equal balance of Christians and Muslims. Kaduna State, for example, you have almost an equal, you know, balance of Christians and Muslims. And if you check the history of Kaduna State, they've had, you know, crisis over who should be governor. They've largely had governors who have been Muslims since Kaduna State was created. They've had only one Christian governor who, unfortunately, didn't last long in office. I think that was Ramalan Yero.
All right.
You know, died in a, I think, helicopter crash or so. That was the first Christian governor in Kaduna State. So, if you look at Kaduna as of today, the deputy governor to El Rufai, she's also a Muslim, although from southern Kaduna, while Rufai is from northern Kaduna. Then the same current deputy governor in Kaduna is also the deputy governorship candidate to the APC candidate. So, you see how I talked about even in Taraba. In Taraba, you have a large population of Muslims, but since Taraba was created, they've always had Christian governors and, you know, Muslim deputy governors. So you look at all of these factors, and at the national level, it will be the second time if APC wins that we'll be having a Muslim ticket, you know, a Muslim ticket running mate in an election in Nigeria. The first time was in 1993 when we had Abiola and Babagana Kingibe, who were running a Muslim ticket. So it's the second time we're having a political party run a Muslim ticket in terms of APC. While PDP has been able to choose Muslim Christian, Peter Obi in Labour Party has been able to choose a Christian Muslim. Likewise, he's been able to reflect across some political. So these are some of the factors you look at.
So do you think this Muslim ticket will be a minus for any political party at this time?
This is highly debatable. No? Could it be a minus? You know, let's look at the way Nigeria is presently structured. Now, the North is majorly are majorly Muslims.
Okay.
If you look at the composition of 19 states in the North. Now, if you look at the composition of the 17 states in the South, we are majorly Christians. But there's a dynamism to that. The Southwest, that has the second highest voting population in Nigeria after Northwest, has a huge Muslim population. You understand? And the Southwest, over the years, you know, if you check the background of a lot of us, is that we have
Muslim grandparents,
of course,
grandparents.
Or Christian, you know. Yeah. So the mixture is there. So if you check the Southwest, we hardly debate religion, you know, in the Southwest, because we know each other. Is that you have a Muslim father or a Christian mother, or your neighbors are Muslims, you know? So you understand mixed. Why I said is highly debatable. So in some areas, a Muslim ticket will be a minus. In some areas, a Muslim ticket will just be lukewarm. People wouldn't look at whether it's Muslim or Christian, judging from the region. So that's what I say. For the North, a Muslim ticket may not backfire per se, because
What if you don't support the person? So the support will now be blighted by the religion. Is that what we will now leave the, oh, we don't want this person, but because he's a Muslim, we're voting him in? Is that what you're saying? Would that, do you think that's what would play out?
It could play out, really. Okay. It could play out in 2023. I'm sure you're already seeing people resigning from APC to say, look, we never bargained for this idea of Muslim thing in this political party. So you can see that people are already leaving APC as a political party. And that's, you know, some minus for them. Okay. But if you look at majority of the areas where you've had resignations and all of that, or where there have been resentment, there have been in areas largely dominated by Christians in the South and some parts of the North. That's why I said, look, for Southwest, this religion thing may not click particularly, you know, in the Southwest, because you already know our background, everybody knows each other, and that's why you can hardly find religious troubles, you know, in the Southwest. And in the North, you've had, of course, higher Muslim voting population. So you begin to understand why some of these things have gone this way in terms of balancing what you have. And if you check very well, all the political parties have Muslim, you know, Muslim candidates, either as president or a vice presidential candidate.
All right. 0817923000, 0817923000, 0817923009. As a person who wants to vote, who is going to vote in 2023, the choice of the president and the running mates, especially under the religious side, would it affect who you're going to vote for in any way? Or perhaps you're one of those that have said, I'm not going to vote for this person again because I thought that, you know, because I think there is no balance. I mean, that's what Lelly Koenke has used, balance. 0817923000, 0817923000. And for you two, do you also, would you also say that the vice presidential candidate, is it important to you as a voter? Is it important to you, or you can't be bothered as far as your guy who's the presidential candidate wins? You're good. You're good. God's time is on Elga. Good morning.
Good morning, no. Good morning, Ovunda.
No longer Ovunda.
The debate in your station is quite understandable and I appreciate it. But the vice president brings a lot to the table, as Ovunda has rightly said. First of all, you need to consider the region, because we have the South and the North. And secondly, the religion of the person doesn't matter. What should matter is what will the person bring to the table, the competency. Well, how would the person affect the system? But if you watch very well, our system is nothing to write home about. First of all, the ass who are in strike, other people, the labor, the price of things are going up every day. You know, it's not palatable. So we want people who function, make the country governable, make the economy rise to where it's supposed to be. We are giants of Africa. We ought to maximize our number, not to be complaining about our number. Our number should contribute more to our economy.
Right.
And it can only happen when we bring people who have the ability to change the thing. If you watch Shettima, he was once a governor, and he made so much impact in Borno State, and brought in a person who is still making impact. That is to show that he has the eye for good things, the eye for leading people rightly. And in the person of Tinubu, he has been able to tell you that he's not afraid of harnessing talent or bringing people on board who are better than him. I think we have a good ticket to go. Thank you.
Thank you. How is Rumi? Good morning.
Yes, my dear sister, good morning. Let me greet your guest, Alaliko. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
On the Muslim ticket, no. To me, in as much as I am not an APC member, I won't change, even if I'm an APC member, I won't vote for Muslim ticket, because they say what is good for the good is also good for the gander. You don't expect a Muslim man to come and represent the people from the Christian side. It's not possible.
Henry.
Which you know that very well in this our country today, the Muslim religion and the Christian religion are not friendly.
Henry.
That is why you hear...
Henry. Yes. Henry.
Yes, I'm with you.
Are you saying that the issues plaguing Nigeria separates people based on religion? So the Muslims are enjoying lights, their kids are in school, they have good roads, they have, the areas are secure, everything is working for the Muslims who are in Nigeria. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Henry. All right, let's move. David is in Yenagoa. Just asking because, you know, that was what I thought he was saying. The Muslims have a better deal in Nigeria because, I don't know. Daniel, you're in Transamadi. Good morning.
Good morning to you and good morning to your guests.
Yeah, good morning.
For me, I don't think we vote because of religion. I should go beyond religion. I have to look at the competence and what you have to give to Nigerians. So that is exactly what I have to look for. But this religion, truth must be told, I think you have a lot of faith in the North. I think that's over there. Then I consider if you're a Muslim or Christian, more than Muslim before they begin to vote. Going by the level of dedication in the North, I think that is where this whole thing will work. But over here in South, I don't think this religion thing will even work. For me, it's about competence. It's not about the religion, wherever you come from. Thank you.
All right, we've got George. George is calling from D-Line. Good morning, George.
Good morning. How are you, Adam?
Good. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Well, as far as I'm concerned, the issue of Muslim, Christian shouldn't matter. It doesn't really matter. In the first place, it has no place in Christianity. Because Christ said, it says love your neighbor as yourself. It doesn't say love a Christian as yourself or a Jew or a Muslim. Your neighbor can be anybody, can come from any religion. Political parties want to win election. They do their calculations and know where they pick their candidate in order to win. The important thing is that these candidates should be able to manage the country in such a manner that we can move forward. That's it. Not right. Whether it's a Christian or a Muslim. These people are turning the teachings of Christianity upside down. In fact, they don't know what they are talking about. They may be Christians attending churches, but they are not godly. God does not discriminate. Why do you discriminate?
All right. Thank you, George.
So it does not matter, really. That does not matter. What matters is...
Ouch, knocked off by the network. But Marcus is waiting from Woji. Marcus, good morning.
Good morning, and the guests in the studio.
Yeah, good morning.
Two things I want to quickly point out in respect of this Muslim ticket and vice presidential slot. The first one is that when we are complaining about a Muslim ticket, it's not because what APC does or does not do is our business per se. It's about conscientizing about 55 million Nigerians who registered to vote in 2019 but didn't use their PVC, that these are one of the reasons why you shouldn't vote this other party. So that they can make informed decision, because if you have an outgoing Muslim president, you have an incoming Muslim candidate, and then you have an incoming vice president who is also a Muslim. Now, the reason is this. The way our socio-political culture in Nigeria operates is winner takes all. So if there is no balance in the sharing of position, the appointments, contracts, execution of them or non-execution of them, anti-corruption fight, economy, everything is going to be party and man no man. So if it's not evenly distributed, it's a very wrong culture, but that is where we are now.
All right.
So let's not deceive ourselves to say, it doesn't matter where the person comes from, provided he's competent. There's a competent person in every local government. So there's nothing wrong in officially sharing position, because we know that when your person is there, you are close to influence.
All right, thank
and
you.
And with this influence, you can either develop or underdevelop.
Thank you, Marcus. Joel, you're in Bonny Island. Final call this morning. Let's go.
Yeah, good morning. On the issue of Muslim tickets on the side of the APC, it's not a welcome idea, if you ask me. And I believe the Gabon and the APC members have shot themselves on the foot. But with what is happening in this country today, there is no way you will tell us that Christians cannot be represented at the highest level. So choosing a Muslim ticket has defined the vision and the focus of what the party has for Nigerians. So, and I'm happy the election is coming up. So I don't think a reasonable Christian will go to that line. It's not a welcome idea for our APC to choose Muslim to wear a Christian.
All right. Thank you, Joel, for calling. Ige.
And, you know, I think in the course of this program, I did talk about not having fixation on a particular political party. You see, we're having fixation already on the APC. There's no guarantee that the APC will win the election. And that's why we are saying, look, go out and vote. You see why it said only members of the party could have complained about a Muslim ticket. Mm. The best way for the rest of Nigerians to
who may not be happy,
the best way to protest, go out and vote on that. Vote for any candidate of your choice. If at the end of the day, when the votes are counted, APC wins, then it means a higher majority of Nigerians were actually not bothered about a Muslim ticket.
Mm.
So the best way you can do now is, you know, expand your own sphere of influence. If you don't believe in a Muslim ticket, begin to spread the good news to your neighbors, to your friends. Mm. Tell them the merits and demerits of what you think is good for you. If they buy your idea, so be it. You understand? And for the last caller, I was talking about whether no reasonable Christian will vote for a Muslim ticket. You know, I did tell you about the issue in the Southwest. There are plenty of Christians in the Southwest who are not bothered about Muslims because we grew up together. We went to the same school. We are neighbors. We are cousins. We are even family members. So it's difficult for me now, you know, to tell me not to vote for my Muslim friend who probably is my cousin.
Mm.
I wouldn't say anything. You see? So outside of religion, you also look at the ethnic background. So there are a lot of factors that come into play. And the best thing is, don't have fixation on any political party. Atiku is there, is a Muslim. Tinubu is there, is a Muslim. Peter Obi is there. We'll soon know the presidential candidates of all other political parties. 2023 might just be a defining moment, you know, for our political history. If we stay true to what we have been saying all this while, because it's a different thing to complain on platform like this. Another thing is to be out on that day to go and vote your conscience.
All right. Thank you very much, Aleko Ege. Journalist and editor, Independent Monitor newspaper.
Thank you very much, Emma.
My name is Anna Ogbevere. We draw the curtains here. Of course, conversation continues online at Nigeria Info PH on Twitter and, of course, on Facebook. Good morning.